Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams. And it is always a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God, and that God has allowed us to come together one more time. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. There's so many things going on in the world today. There's trouble on every side. But I come to tell you tonight that God is still in the blessing business. And God is still in control. And God is our helper in a time of storm. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 16. We will expound on, and you are asked to read the entire third chapter. The title of our lesson is, "It was God who created a way for us to be born again." When God decided to save us, you know, the scripture teaches us that wherever God guides, he also provides. And God has everything in place and have afforded unto us everything that we need to live a righteous life. But it's up to us to cooperate, to trust, and to submit. So with that being said, I'm going to play this song. And the title of the song, "If God Doesn't Do Anything Else, He Has Already Done Enough." I believe that tonight. You know, I say in my life all the time that if God doesn't do anything else for me, because when I look back over my life and I really could think things over and I could really see the hand of God in my life during the bad times, the good times, I realize if he doesn't do anything else, he has really done enough. And after the song is played, we're going to have the reading of our prayer list by our sister in Christ. And she's going to also lead us to the throne of grace. So I'm going to play the song, and we'll come back after. But I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your schedule, each and every one of you from calling week after week, and people who listen on the internet. I'm not leaving you guys out. And all of the different people around the world and different countries other than the United States that have listened to the program, I thank God for each and every one of you. And listen to the song and be blessed.
Simply said, if he doesn't do anything, he's already done enough. Mr. Brown wrote this song for me. Hallelujah.
After listening to that song, everybody should realize that all God has done, what he's doing right now, mm-hmm. and what he has promised to do for us. Just understand that it's enough. Our God is a God of enoughness. And he have all of our best interests at heart. So right now, I'm going to turn it over to Sister Pam. Sister Pam, your mic is open. She's going to read our list that we decided to do every first of the month. And then she's going to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Thank you, Sister Pam.
You're welcome. Good evening, everyone. Before I call out the prayer list, I want to ask that if anybody named that's on the prayer list, that if y'all may have a praise report about that person, or if it's been a breakthrough in that person's life since the last time we spoke, and you'd like to tell us about it at the end of the program, if you press the one button, you can let us know how that person is doing. Okay. Kathy and Jimmy Hartman, Alex Moore, Stephen Nguyen, Esther Lucas, who's 95 years old, Mary McMillan, Derek, Dustin, and Diane McBride, Mary Hodges, Gladys Phillips, Cedric Edwards, Lance Brown, Georgiana Prevost, the Martin family, Arthur DeLone, Sister Janice and family, Tyrone Hem family, Willie and Kathy Foxworth and family, Corinth Davis, Sandra Bridges and family, Sister Diane Adams and family, Tammy Ditto, Verlin Garrett, Patrice Hernandez, Jacqueline Nicholas, Paula Anthony, Maddie Lala and family, Morris Janet, the Oliver family, Sister Brenda Pierre, and all the people in the rehab, Derek Olive, Lee Johnson and family, Whitney Mercandale and family, Alfrenette Williams and family, Christian Ward, Florida Cage, Gloria Butler, Roslyn Henderson, Christy Moore, and Tanya Williams. Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, Father God, to be amongst the living. Lord, we thank you for another Wednesday night Bible study. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and mercy. Lord, we give thanks tonight for our teacher and messenger, Sister Diane Adams. Lord, we ask that you continue supplying her with the wisdom and knowledge from you. Lord, we need this Bible study, Jesus. We need you, Lord, now more than we ever did before. Lord, your word says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So, Lord, we thank you tonight for being here with us. All praise, honor, and glory to you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God and hallelujah.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. And we'll, at the end, let other names that could go on there. But since I have my mic open, I want to let you guys know, before we start taking a list, it was sometime maybe last year, I asked for prayer for my son, who was incarcerated. I want to let y'all know he's home. He came home.
Amen.
And he came out early. And God is working it out together for his good. So we pray for our young black men, and that God just rebuked Satan long enough for them to decide to make the right choices. So I wanted to let you guys know, since Sister Pam said about a praise report, that I wanted to say that tonight. They have a caller. They press the one button on their phone, and I'm just going to open it because they pressed it so early in the program because they may have something they need to say at this time. Caller, your number is 504-355-26. Your mic is open.
Yes, hi, Ms. Diane. This is Kathy Foxford. How you doing? I wanted to That's good. We want to continue to pray for me and my dad, but I also wanted to address around him was my fiance, Rory, that you know of, cousin. He did die. And Mary Lala is a student of mine that had surgery, and she's doing fine, so I just wanted to give an update on that. But I'm asking prayers for Rory Jenkins to be added to the list because he had a light stroke. So just asking for prayers for him. But glad to hear from you, and hope you continue going what you're doing. Thank you.
And thank you. You know, we've been praying, and we decided to keep a list and pray for people. But it's good to hear the praise reports because God is truly in the blessing business. And I thank you for those praise reports. And we, at the end, you could press the button and let us know some other things. Thank you. So at this time, it is now time to explore the Word of God together. And all I can say right now is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because God is worthy to be praised. Again, I'm going to say the title because so many other callers have called in. And the title of our lesson tonight is, It Was God Who Created a Way for Us to Be Born Again. I'm coming from the book of John, the 3rd chapter. Verses 1 through 16 is what we're going to expound on tonight. But I ask you guys to read the entire 3rd chapter because you may have received some information concerning this where we could all tie in together. My background for tonight is about born again. I have been teaching new members for over 10 years now. And many times the new members come to the new members class. And, you know, one of the subjects that we expound on is about being born again. I know I was very confused when people would say, are you born again for so long? And I know there's a lot of other people that just can't figure out what it really entails or details and how they should embrace it. Because as the title say, it was God who created the way for us to be born again. So I want you to know and ask this question. What happens when a Christian sins? Now, when I say Christian, that's someone who's already been saved. They are Christian, but they sin. And we know we all fall short of the glory of God, and we all make mistakes, and we all have setbacks and different things in our lives. So if God doesn't send us to hell, then how do he deal with us about our sins after we have been saved? You see, this subject becomes rather easy to understand when you fully realize that you are now a child of God. See, we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't know who we are in Father God. So that's why we always wondering and pondering on things that God has already done. The Bible said there's no condemnation, but we condemn ourselves because we don't feel like we're good enough, that we do enough, that we act good enough, that our lights will shine bright enough. But you see, Christians need to understand that their bodies have not been born again. Only our souls have been born again unto salvation, the act of being saved. So you say, well, Sister Diane, what are you saying here? When we are born again, our body, our flesh is not born again, only our soul. After we are saved and become born again, our flesh is still corrupt. And until we die or Jesus come back first, it will remain corrupt. You see, Paul said that in the flesh dwell no good things in Romans 8 and 18. You see, when we first believed, and I say first believed, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in our body to help us resist the temptations of the flesh. You see, the indwelling Spirit gives evidence of a new life by producing the fruit of the Spirit in a believer's life. You see, we are born again, and when we got born again, we were babes in Christ. The Bible tells us we are babes in Christ. Paul talks about growing, and Peter said, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, and you see, once we begin to do that, you see, our fruit that we produce in our lives, and, you know, I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and 22, you know, the love, the peace, the joy, the faith, those things, when the fruit is being manifest and produced in your lives, it allows others to know who you belong to. When you receive Christ, your soul is born again, but your flesh still operates with its full forces. The level or degree of your flesh don't change. You see, flesh always acts at 100%, seeking its desires. And flesh operates in the person that's saved and born again, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Flesh operates the same in their lives as it operates in an unbeliever. The difference is we're going to explore. Since the soul has been made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ, God found it necessary to separate the soul from the flesh. You see, this process is called spiritual circumcision. Notice these important words from Galatians 2 and 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision not made by hand, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Instead of being physical circumcised as they did in the Old Testament, the Jews, it was done by man's hands. But now our heart is spiritually circumcised by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, even when they did the circumcision, and if anybody know anything about it, you know, it's dealing with the private parts of a man, and they take away the foreskin. So the process of circumcision was taken away. And that's what the Holy Ghost is doing with us, helping us to take away the things in our heart that shouldn't be there, things that are hindering us from being all that we can be. When we received Christ as our Savior, your soul was set free. Our flesh has been cut loose, circumcised, from our righteous soul. You see, the burden of sin is lifted, and the Holy Spirit of God came and lived within our soul, not in your flesh. A Christian's flesh is still corrupt and sinful. So we are to live in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Because, see, Jesus himself said in Matthew 26 and 41, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, before a spiritual rebirth, all humans are slaves to sin and spiritual dead in their trespasses. You see, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, they brought sin and death into the world. Every one of their descendants, and that's everyone born after them, is cursed with a sin nature, a desire to live contrary to God's will. As we are all descendants of Adam and Eve, we are all under the same curse and deserve death as penalty. To save us from this curse, Christ came from heaven to live on earth as a perfect God-man and die a painful death on the cross, taking upon himself the punishment we all deserve. He didn't conquer death by raising from the grave 3 days later. After he ascended back to heaven, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in us, all who put their faith in him. You see, the entrance of the Holy Spirit unto our soul is what brings about the spiritual rebirth, being born again. Since the soul has been made righteous, God sees us as righteous. He does not see our sins because Jesus paid the price for our sins. Our souls are forever perfect. So I want to let you know tonight, so if I sin, if you sin, if we sin in the flesh, and God will deal with us in the flesh about it. He will not judge our soul, for it is sinless. That's why we can say once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved, not your body, but your soul. We are still stuck in our corruptible fleshly bodies until Jesus calls us home. You know, really, spiritually speaking, you are now in the body of Christ. You are now living in the kingdom of God. You are now a new creature, born again. You're saved, you've been redeemed, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, 1 Peter 1 and 4 says, you know, when we look at all that and read all of that and we really know we still have shortcomings, we use the word of God to help us to grow. And in 1 Peter 1 and 14, Peter says, as obedient children, we should not fashion ourselves according to the former lust, which we did in our ignorance. So now that you know better, it should be our goal to become better, to do better, to think better. And that's our background for tonight. And if we start with the scriptures that we're going to speak on, if we go to John, the third chapter, the first verse, it reads, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. to the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou does it, except God be with him. Chapter third verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see. Now, this word, he is important, y'all. He cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, many times in our lives, we are often, you know, so proud to say we live in this world, but we not of this world. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, if you're not of this world, what world are you of? What position are you in here on earth until God calls us home? But I want you to know that we lived in once we accepted Christ, we became a member of the kingdom of God here on earth. Now watch what Jesus said in that verse that I read. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can you see the kingdom of God? Is it important for you, once you realize that the kingdom of God is here on earth, and that's where God's children, you know, live in, how you should react, or how you should behave and be obedient in the kingdom of God? If you can't see it, it's not a concern to you. And if we look at the fourth verse, Nicodemus said unto them, to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus looked at him and he answered him again. And he said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, the first time he said he cannot see the kingdom of God. And here he say he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus answered Nicodemus' confusion by elaborating on the truth. He introduced in verse 3, he said, Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. You know, when you look at that water and the Spirit, there are numerous interpretations that has been offered to explain the phrase born of water. One interpretation believes that it speaks about two births, one natural and the other one spiritual, born of the water. When you think of the natural birth, born of the water, you think about the phase of a child being born in the mother's womb of the water, like you have a water in your water bag birth. So they figure that is tied to the natural birth, and then they figure it as a spiritual birth. But you see, in the Old Testament, water and spirit often referred symbolically in the Old Testament as spiritual renewing, as cleaning. And then there's others who think that the water is in reference to baptism. But you got to realize when we talk about baptism, nowhere in the Bible, the Bible says you have to be baptized to be saved. Yes, God did ordain, and yes, Jesus, John the Baptist was the forerunner of baptizing. And John the Baptist even said, I'm going to baptize you in water, but the other one is going to baptize you in the Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. And you see, most believe well, I ain't going to say most, but others believe that he's talking about the living water offered by Jesus. And for those who remember when Jesus offered the living water to the lady at the well, I gave you them interpretations because if I'd have said one and you had read and studied that, you'd think it could be another one, then, you know, you would maybe think there's error somewhere. So that's just different interpretation, what they speaks about that water and the spirit. So if we go to verse 6, and it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You see, here we hear him saying, flesh can only produce flesh, and the spirit is what gives life. He said, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit and gives life. Verse 7 said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. So what Jesus is doing in his ultimate wisdom, he's trying to teach Nicodemus in a way that he could understand. You know, Jesus used a lot of illustration, analogies, and parables in his teaching because he wanted to give you something that you could compare something else to, and you might get the spiritual meaning. So what Jesus do now in this verse here, in verse 8, he said, the wind bloweth where it listens, and thou heareth the sound of, but cannot tell whence it comes and whether it goes. He's saying, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's the scripture, y'all. That's what Jesus is telling Nicodemus to try to get him to see, hallelujah, the kingdom of God. And then once he see, understand, and take hold of it, then he could enter. And then, you know, at this point, Jesus illustrated this point with a familiar example from nature. The wind cannot be controlled. It blows where it wishes. And though it And through its general direction, you know, you just know in a general direction where he's going if you can see the leaves on the trees or whatever. But you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it's going. So you could never be precise. Nevertheless, the wind effects can be observed. Look at a hurricane. Look at a tornado. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't even know how it formulated. But the effects that the wind was present can be seen. And it can be observed. You see, the same is true of the works of the Spirit. His sovereign work of regeneration in the human heart can never be controlled nor predicted. You know, some people really figure they got everything about the Holy Spirit all locked up in understanding clarity. The Bible says it cannot be controlled, because what God will do for you, he'll do for someone else. And when we are told that we don't have any power or we don't have any strength, or God is not able to use us because we didn't do another step of being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, the Bible does not say that. Right here the scripture says, his sovereign work, the work of the Holy Ghost, of regenerating in the human heart can never be controlled nor predicted. Yet its effects can be seen in the transform lives of those who are born in the Spirit. You don't know how, you know, some of the things that God did for us in our lives and removed some things from our life, you don't even remember when he did it. And we sure don't know how he did it. And we just realized the effect that he had did it because the things we used to do, we didn't want to do it anymore. And that's the Holy Ghost working in and through us, circumcising our heart. Hallelujah. Removing things that is not of us. And yet, even with that, we still, I don't know about you, but I still have things that has to be removed from my life, but I'm pressing towards the mark. And the scripture tonight let me know that my spirit, my soul is separated from my flesh, and God's going to deal with me in the flesh, in the flesh. That's why we could say once saved, always. Your soul is locked down. Your soul is sealed. Your soul will be before God. You see, Nicodemus was a Pharisee, the ruler of the Jews, and he opposed Jesus. But here we see that Nicodemus noticed that something was special about Jesus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Perhaps he was afraid of being criticized by his peers, because, you know, they was talking Jesus down, or they had, or he had decided he wanted a private conversation. You know, or maybe he wanted to know more before committing himself to Jesus. But in any event, he asked Jesus some questions, and Jesus answered him. See, God looks at the heart, and this is the prime example. We don't know what was on Nicodemus' heart, but God knew what was on his heart. But besides knowing what his intentions was to come there, God knew what he needed. So Jesus answered, you must be born again. Remember this, the kingdom of God is, when you belong to God, it is to be a part of his rule, like you're living by the Bible as best you can, that you want to love your neighbors as yourself, that you put God first. Come on, y'all. Where he reigns in our lives, and the kingdom of God is his domain. You know, Satan has his part that he's doing right now in the hearts and the minds and of people, and God is allowing it because they say he's the ruler of this world, the prince of the air, but God is in control. See, Jesus was referring to a transfer of citizenship, a radical departure from what was once there. Come on, y'all. Are you a citizen in the kingdom? Do you want to be a good citizen in the kingdom? Have you ever opened your eyes and seen the kingdom? Because if you can't see it, you can't believe it, and you sure won't be able to believe it and achieve it in your heart. You see what I'm saying, y'all? It's a departure from one way and becoming a citizen of something totally different. You see, this concept also refers to as salvation, regeneration, of being born again. Jesus himself coined this phrase, born again. It's not an optional thing. It is not an optional thing or an experience that accompany salvation. To be born again is salvation. Because he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And whenever you read in your Bible and you see verily, verily, what that means is they make an emphasis on what's about to be said next. Verily, verily means like, okay, true, a word up, you know, you might look at it as meaning amen. You know, it's surely. He's saying, you know, when he say verily, verily, you know, you just look for what's coming up next. You know, just look and open your eyes that he's about to give you some truth. Surely, surely, amen, and those type of things. And if we look at the other scriptures, verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and know it not these things? He's saying, you've been studying, you're a Pharisees, you're on a Sanhedrin council, and you don't know these things? That's what I think he's going to have to say to some preachers and teachers and things like that, for maybe the way we act, like we don't know a lot of things, and we should know things, and each and every one of us is going to be responsible for what we know or don't know. And then he says in verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye speak that we do know, and testifies what we have seen, and you receive not our witness. And look what Jesus telling men. If I had told you earthly things and you believe it not, talking in the parables and using the analogies, lining earthly things up with spiritual things to try to get you to really get the, be able to comprehend what he's saying. He said, if I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? 13 says, and no man has ascended up to heaven, but that he come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus go on to say, and you know, you got to know your audience when you're teaching, and when you try to get people to another level, you use what you think could hold their attention. And on verse 14, Jesus went on to tell Nicodemus, who was very learned in the law and in the Judaism religion, 14, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whatsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here Jesus reminded Nicodemus of all the teaching, and he used things that had been taught in Judaism with the Old Testament teaching. You see, he told him, he reminded him right now, since, you know, Nicodemus, it seemed like you done forgot, because it's like you can't understand nothing I'm saying. But he said this is a reference to the cross. He said when the people of Israel was being bitten by hundreds of poisonous snakes, which suddenly appeared in the camp in the wilderness, and were dying, Moses was told to take a pole and put a brass serpent on top of it. And that serpent, I want you to know tonight, would itself do nothing whatsoever for the people. It was merely a symbol. But they were told if they would look up at it, they would find themselves healed from the serpent's bite. Jesus is telling them in so many words, this is a picture of me. I will be made sin. That is what the servant also always stands for. And I will be lifted up to die. When that happened, If you look at me and believe that I'm dying for you in your place, God will forgive your sins and you will receive eternal life. See, the people was dying in the wilderness, and Moses went to God, and God said, let me tell you what to do. You put that snake up there and tell them to look at it. And see, they had to look. I'm sure some hard-headed people wouldn't even look. But those who look was healed from the bites. God, Jesus said, this is an example of me. I'm going to die. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And our last verse for tonight is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God knew that man would never become righteous enough in order to redeem himself. It was always God's plan to have a relationship and fellowship with his people. But you see, one sin entered the world by one man, and we all received the sin nature. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see, God's love for mankind was so great that he orchestrated a master plan for redemption. He sent his son. You know, there's no other verse in the Bible that completely and totally summarizes God's relationship with humanity and gives us the way to salvation. Some consider John 3:16 as the theme verse for the entire Bible. John 3:16 tells us of the love God has for us and the extent of that love, so great that he sacrificed his only son on our behalf. John 3:16 also teaches us that anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will be saved. John 3:16 gives us the glorious hope of eternal life in heaven through the love of God and the death of Jesus Christ. We all receive grace. And I want you to know tonight that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. With all that being said tonight, I want you to know John 3:16 can stand by itself. It is not up for debate. It can't be turned around. You know, it's the truth that makes us free. John 3:16 speaks for itself. It tells us of the love of God. And as I close tonight, I want you to know that this is a miracle of the atoning blood of Jesus on the cross at Calvary. It gives us the rite of passage down the birth canal of the Holy Spirit so that we can be born again, a new creature created for the kingdom of God. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone have anything they would like to say, add to it, or anything, you could press the one button on your phone. And I'll open up your mic. One who would like to add to it. And I pray that if you had any questions of whether you're born again, and maybe some of you never even thought about it, but we see in the Word of God tonight that Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. caller, your number is 504-256-56.
I am.
Your mic is open. That's you, Sister Pam?
Yeah, that was me.
Hello? All right.
Yeah,
darling.
That's me, Sister Diane.
All right, darling. Anyone have anything to add or take away? Anything? Sister Elyria Mack, if you're on the line tonight, please press your one button, and I'll allow you to lead us out tonight. Sister Mackie, your mic is open.
Yes. Yes. God, we just thank you, Lord, for another night, oh God. God, we thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding as your word declares, oh God, with all thy getting, get understanding. God, we thank you because we want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we come, Lord, you said in your word, one to put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. God, we just come binding together, Lord God, in prayer, lifting up the prayer list again unto you, Lord God. Thank you for what you've done on the list, oh God, for those that you have touched, Lord, for those that you're keeping, oh God. God, we thank you for delivering Sister Diane's son out, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus, because your word said that you were able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, and it's according to the power that worketh in us. And we declare and we speak over our lives, oh God, because you say that we are lively stones. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And for that, we are grateful. God, we thank you for getting understanding and clarity of your word, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, because you have given us the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. You didn't give us the spirit of fear, Lord. And we thank you. God, you know in your word, and it says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you know how to deliver us out of them all. And if we abide in you and your word abide in us, we can ask what we will, and it shall be done unto us, oh God. But most of all, God, we just want our speech to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may have an answer for every man that come asking, what must they do to be saved? We want to let our light shine, oh God, in a dying world, oh God. God, we pray for those that are standing in a confused mind, God, not knowing which way to turn. Oh God, that you would touch their heart and deliver right now in the mighty name of Jesus, because you are a delivering God. You are a healer. You the same God yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. And for that, we are grateful. We just come thanking you, Lord God, for another Wednesday night, Lord, that we've been blessed with your word, because truly you did send your son, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, to redeem us back to you. And for that, we thank you, and we bless your name. We magnify and glorify your name, and we call it all done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, you're truly worthy to be praised, Lord. No matter what we go through, you're still worthy, oh God. You're worthy. God, you're just worthy, worthy, worthy. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord. God, we thank you for increase. God, we thank you for increase on the line, oh God. We thank you because you said in your word, and we stand on your promises because they are yes and they are amen. God, and we thank you for increase because your word declares that the outer man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So we thank you for renewing us, oh God. We thank you for giving us your joy, which is the strength. God, we thank you because your word said the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh God, and sometimes when we go through, we just have to do what your word say. We just have to leap for joy. God, because you give it us peace that passes all understanding. And we pray, Lord God, we pray for every believer, for the whole household of faith, that it would increase all the more in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I bless your name, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And I want to thank Sister Pam for the opening prayers, and Sister Mackie for the ending prayers. And if there's nothing else to be said, that's our program for tonight. I think it's I'm trying to think, it's Mother's Day Sunday. It's Mother's Day. Well, Mother's Day is coming. Mother's Day is coming. And I would like to wish all of the mothers a happy Mother's Day and pray for the mothers in Jesus' name. That's our program tonight. And if God said so, we'll meet on next Wednesday. But until that time, I ask that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God loves you, and so do I. Good night, and be blessed.